Okay, good evening. First of all, Mazel Tov, Mindy, I think, is Jewish Studies valedictorian. That's a very big deal, as far as I know.
It's pretty cool, yeah.
Baruch Hashem. It's very important. Elisheva, was that you who won, like, some essay award?
Oh, yeah. I found out only because Rachel sent the...
It's entirely possible there's like more than one Elisheva Cohen and more than one Mindy Shore. But are you graduating now?
No, that's just an essay.
Oh, that's just an essay award. That's nothing to do with graduation. Okay. I understand that like valedictorian over here doesn't work the same way as it works. Uptown is like a popularity contest. Uptown, basically, the top five GPAs are voted on by the students.
Downtown, it's
entirely GPA. Right, that's my understanding.
I have no idea how it works.
That's what it said.
That's what it said in the commentator.
When they asked that.
There's also about credits, like how many credits you have. So, like, with, like, that's why, like, a lot of times, general studies is, like, 4 years.
Okay, Chevra, so now let's resume learning Torah. We're going to try to arrive at some halachic conclusions regarding what we'll call mixed bishul, meaning if a Jew and a guy both do some of the cooking, when and under which circumstances is the food kosher? When and under which circumstances is the food non-kosher? And of course, we have the bigger in-between category of when and under which circumstances is it a machlokes. So that's basically what we have to learn. So let's just review. So if a Jew puts the meat on the coals, and then a guy comes and turns it over, what's the halacha? Mutter. Right? Why? Reverse, no? If a Jew puts the food on the coals and the guy comes and turns it over, it is mutter. Why?
Because
it would cook anyways, and it's only kiruve bishula, and we assume that kiruve bishula is not significant in terms of assuring the food. Correct? Now, it is not abundantly clear in this Gemara when the Jew put the food on the coals and the guy turned it over, what was that food up to before the guy turned it over? Was it up to before Machol Ben Drusai? Was it after Machol Ben Drusai? Right? It's not abundantly clear, but L'cha'ora, in any case, the Gemara is Mekal, because all the guy is doing is called Kiruve Bishula. However, if the guy takes the food off of the coals, and the guy puts the food in a basket, so in that situation, the food is going to be... Okay, good. If the guy took it off, and then the guy puts it back, so who's Mekal on that? Thank you, Rachel. The Bach is Mekal, but normative Judaism disagrees with the Bach. The Shach and the Taz both disagree with the Bach. But in the case, let's say, a Jew takes it off, and the guy puts it back. So what's the halacha? The Jew takes off, puts it in the basket, the guy puts it back?
If it was Machol Ben Drusai,
then it's going to be okay. If it was not Machol Ben Drusai, it's going to be Aser. Right, that is beferish in the Gemara. Also, we had beferish in the Gemara in the first case, the diuk that we kept on harping on last time, which is the Gemara set it up that if the food would not cook without the maisa of the guy, then it should be treif. Correct? If the Jew puts it on the fire, but it's not going to cook, so it should be treif, that din makes it to Shulchan Aruch. Did all of you have a chance to like, go through the Shulchan Aruch, or that's sort of what I wanted you to do? In Shulchan Aruch, that makes it, that's Si'if Yud. Si'if Yud in Shulchan Aruch says that Hiniach Yisrael al gabe gecholim omemos shelo hoya ro'i lehisbashel aleihem kemacho ben drusoy uba ove kolchavim v'hafach bo v'nisbashel is asar. That if a Jew puts the food on gecholim omemos, means that the coals are nearing death, and it can't cook, even Kamacho Ben Jusai, and then the guy turns it over, so it's going to be Usr, because in that case, the guy is basically doing the cooking. That is Beferish in Shulchan Aruch. Now, we have a problem. And this problem is found in the Ramah in Se'if Vav. Right? Because Se'if Vav, yeah, Adina?
When Shulchan Aruch says that the guy flips it or turns it over, is he talking about the coals or the meat?
So the Shulchan Aruch sounds like the guy is turning over the meat.
How would it cook?
That's the Mechaber.
Right. But how would it cook if he's turning over the meat if the coals aren't
shocking? Well, again, it could be that turning over the meat means that it's not cooking over here, and I turn the meat over and I move it somewhat closer to the coals also. Right? But the Mechaber is never talking about if the guy stokes the coals. That is not discussed at all in the Mechaber. So far, so good? Now, Se'if Vav in Shulchan Aruch. If a Jew does a little bit of cooking, bein betchil or bein besof, it's mutter. Therefore, if a guy puts the stuff on the fire and the Jew turns it over, it is mutter. Right? So far, so good. Says the Ramah, afilu lo haya mispashel below siyua over kolchavim. So that is something that we have to jump up and down, spit wood and nickels. I have no idea what that expression means, but that's what we're supposed to do, apparently. I think this expression comes from your aunt.
I wrote it on my midterm.
I have to give your midterm back. I give everyone else's back besides yours. Okay. Very subtle reminder. Now, the point is that the Ramah says that even if it would not have cooked without what the goy did, it is going to be mutter.
This is the case where the Jew put it on?
The Jew puts it on the fire, and the goy does turning over. Let's say even the goy puts it on the fire, right? And the Jew turns it over. So the halacha is, and in this case it's going to be permitted, because the Jew is doing some cooking, Zuck the Ramah, it's even permitted when what the goy did is necessary for the cooking. The goy's action is making it cook. So it would not have cooked if not for the goy's action, still it's going to be mutter. Nachon? And this seems to be against our Gemara. Not only is it against our Gemara, but it seems to be against Shulchan Aruch and Se'if Yud, when the Jew puts it on those coals that it could not cook Kamacho ben Drusoy, and then the guy does it, it's Aser. So is there any way to answer this stira? This is the problem. So the Shach and the Taz both address this question, and maybe if I'm in a good mood, I could give you a third explanation, if I understand it. Okay. Anyone want to tell me what the Taz says?
Before answering, which I'm not offering to you, just to clarify, the Ramah seems to be there.
The Ramah is so sir the Mechaber in Se'if Yod.
Right, well, that's not a issue. That's the Ramah is so sir the Mechaber.
Okay, right, so it's but like, so you're saying Gavra, Gavra, Karamis, it's a Mahalkas, Mechaber and Ramah. Right, that the Mechaber is going to say that it's Osir.
The Sigi is the problem.
Huh? But the Ramah should not be against the Gemara.
But does the words of the Mechaber himself in Se'if Vav, are they problematic for Se'if Yud? The fact that it's Bein B'Tchil Bein B'Sof, does that matter?
Again, in Se'if Vav it says, if a guy puts it on the fire and the Jew turns it over, it's mutter. Se'if Yud says, if the Jew puts it on the fire and it can't cook, Lav Dafka is the Mechaber ever addressing the case when I can't cook. Right? There's no steer at all in the Mechaber.
Okay, right.
There's no steer at all in the Mechaber. There's only a steer between the Ramah in Se'if Vav and the Mechaber in Se'if Yud, which, as you pointed out, ain't such a big deal, but the steer between the Ramah and the Gemara is a problem. Oh. So the Taz and the Shach both come along and give answers, and the answers sound relatively similar, but actually are different. So let's go. So the Taz says like this, Zuck the Taz. The Gemara in Amid Beis asks a question about the reverse case. The reverse case is that the guy puts the food on and the Jew turns it over. What's the din? And the Gemara says it's Kal v'chomer, right? The Kal v'chomer is af hafach. If it's Gomer b'yad akum, it's mutter. Gomer b'yad Yisrael lo koshikein. And of course, this Kal v'chomer really is very troubling. I think last time we read the Gemara, we noted that the Ran points out that if anything, it doesn't make sense because Gomro biyad akum is mutter because the Jew got it to Macho ben Shusai. Gomro biyad Yisrael, why would it be mutter at all? Right? So the whole Gemara doesn't make sense. So the Ran works very hard to try to answer the Gemara. And effectively, I think what the Ran is saying is like, Gomro biyad akum, you'd have more of a sir, why it should be usher? Because since the din of Bishul Akum is because of Kiruv Hadas. So the Kiruv Hadas probably means the person who finishes the cooking. No? If someone begins a process and someone else finishes it, who do you think is the real chef? Who's the real cook? So this actually is relevant for a number of other sugyas. There's a discussion in the Pesachei Teshuva and Evan HaEzer about the following case. I'll just say it because maybe it will get your interest excited. Let's say somebody sets two people up by just saying, you know what, maybe Sydney is good for Svetlana. And that's all the person does. And then, right, so that's what... Five-ish says that maybe Sydney is good for Svetlana. That's all Five-ish does. And then somebody else is really involved in the process. And actually, right, when Sydney and Svetlana are going out, like, they start having difficulties, and this other person will call her, something. You need some name, right? That's not so common. Lucille, right? So Lucille actually ends up making it work. And then they get married. So who's entitled to the Shadchanos? The Shadchanos go to the one who starts it, or the Shadchanos go to the one who finishes the process?
The person who puts in the most labor.
What?
The person who puts in the most labor.
So the person who puts in the most labor. So that's one way of saying it, possibly.
Right.
But alternatively, you know, Sydney never would have heard of Svetlana if not for Five-ish. Right? It's only once the name was mentioned, so then this other person, Lucille, got involved and kind of made the shidduch all happen. So who is really the Shadchan? So the Pesachei Teshuva and Evan Ezra points out there seems to be a stira in Gemaras. On the one hand, we say Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis L'David. The Beis HaMikdash is called the Beis HaMikdash of David. Why is it called Beis HaMikdash of David? Because David started the process, no? David was Kona, the Goren from Naravna Haivusi, and David wanted to really begin the process. So it's not really Shlomo's house. It's Habayis L'David. On the other hand, elsewhere in Tanakh, of course, the Beis HaMikdash is called the Bayis of Shlomo. And Chazal always say that Ein HaMitzvah Nikreis Ela Al Shem Gomra, that the mitzvah goes by the one who finishes the process. So who is the Iker in the process? Is it the starter or the finisher? No? Does the relief pitcher get the Cy Young Award, or does the starting pitcher get the Cy Young Award? If you have any idea what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but that's not a fair comparison.
Why?
I'm saying, does the relief pitcher get the win?
Well, the relief, again, but the win is a technical thing. What?
Obviously, isn't a relief pitcher going to qualify for the Cy Young?
So Judaism.
Well, it has happened. But Raleigh Fingers and...
Most of the time, starting pitchers.
Okay. I'll stand corrected because I haven't been following baseball since the early 90s. But the basic... It's like before half of you were born. Or more, all of you. Fine. Whatever. But the point is, there is a general stira about whether the process is more the process of the starter or more the process of the finisher. And when it comes to Bishul Akum, One could argue that by Bisho Akum, the Kiruv Hadas sets in by the one who finishes it, because the person who finishes the cooking is able to say, here's the dish. On the other hand, if the entire process never would have gotten underway without the person who started it, so then it's reasonable to assume that the process is considered the process of the starter. This issue seems to actually be a machlokas harishonim over here in the Ran, no? The Ran and the Ramban on Tesvovim Beis Bedape Harif have a machlokas about what happens if a Jew just brings the fire. What is considered, is that considered enough to make a Bishul Yisrael, no? So the Ramban says, of course it is. The Ramban says, Mikol Makom Hora HaRav Zal, that if the Jew brings the coals, so Efsher Shehu Mutter Shdi Yisrael Shagi Lahu Tanura. A Jew started the oven. Right? In other words, the Ramban is saying, if you start the process, of course that makes it Bishul Yisrael. Right? That's what the Ramban says. But the Ran, Taina, says that no. Just starting the oven doesn't do anything. Al pi halacha. If I light the fire in the oven, according to the Ran, that doesn't do anything. The only thing that might help is when it's already cooking, if you do some actual cooking. But starting an entire process, if you are five-ish or whatever it is, that does not do anything according to the Ran. Again, obviously, yesh l'chalek bein hanosim. Obviously, we could say that maybe shadchanos is different than other things, and not all dinim are the same. But just as a way of illustrating, I think the question as to whose process is it considered seems to be the fundamental issue that the Ran and the Ramban are dealing with. But within the Ran, he makes a distinction between bread baking and anything else, no? The Ran writes, that by baking, we could say that that's like the ikar malacha, to start the fire. But by cooking, it's not. And the Ramban does not really develop why this would be true. But what the Ran is saying is, you know what, Ramban, I agree with you that starting the fire is a significant act. But kol zeh by baking, not by cooking. So why does the Ran split between baking and cooking? Not clear. But the Taz already, in the next Taz, we'll get back to our Taz in a minute, but the Taz already argues that the pshat is as follows. How did they bake bread in their times? So baking bread involved that you light a fire, and you begin to heat the oven, and then you don't cook. What?
You take all the coals out.
Correct. Right, we have this in Hilchos Shabbos a little bit, in terms of garuf. Right? Garuf means you take it out, no? You take the coals out of the oven. They cook with the heat, with the residual heat. Now, says the Ran, lighting the oven and removing the coals is the ikar malacha of the bread. Apparently there's some skill that's necessary. I have no idea how to bake bread. I wouldn't know if it bit me. But apparently, according to the Ran, the ikar malacha of baking bread, the thing that's really, that requires skill, is lighting it and then getting out of it. So therefore, the Ran says, you know what, by bread, I could say lighting it is significant. But by the oven, where you're actually cooking in the fire, and the fire is on when you cook, by oven I mean other food, other than bread, so then lighting the fire doesn't matter, because lighting the fire is not a significant act. That's the yesod of the Ran. Now, Tehila, you had a comment before, and I cut you off?
Is it possible that, I guess, like, when Michal and I read the Ran, we thought that the distinction between the Ran and the Ramban is where they decide the process of cooking starts. Meaning that the Ran would say that the process of cooking only starts once the food is in the oven, and the Ramban would say the process of cooking starts by lighting the fire.
Okay, I mean, that certainly is true, but why? Right? The Ran, I think, is saying something much more nuanced. The Ran is saying that when it comes to baking, of course, the process begins when you light the fire. But when it comes to cooking, the process is only when the pot is there. Right? Just lighting the fire is not significant by cooking.
Because you need to do additional things.
Because by cooking, the fire is there the whole time, and the real cooking is
the stirring, and that's why flipping.
Correct.
And the stirring
so
of the pot,
flipping
so.
And stirring is significant by cooking. Flipping and stirring is apparently less significant by baking. By baking, you just stick it in. That's lecha over what emerges from the Ran, right? That there's a flip between That there's a flip between baking and cooking. Hi, Rachel.
So
I have a bit of a headache, so if I'm speaking slower than usual, it's just like I'm trying to concentrate, yeah.
Does the Ran, does the Taz disagree with the Ran then? When the Taz, well, I think the Shafel was part of this, so there's a distinction between the two, but like, when they're saying that, when they explain the Kol Shekein as being like the fact that, well, it'll bring you to Kira Vadas, so, like, if you say it's about lighting the fire to bake bread when it, you're not even gonna have bread in the oven, like that your action is gonna be completely kind of gone by the time the baking the physical baking occurs. So you
so,
think that that's not really
so the Kol Shekein Lecha Ora only makes sense by cooking, not by baking. Nachon. Right? That by baking the ikar activity is beforehand. Now again, all of this might depend on the very large issue that we discussed on Lamed Hey Amid Beis, in terms of to what extent is Pas and Bishul the same Isser, and to what extent is Pas and Bishul a different Isser. But the Ramban is assuming that it's the same. And the Ran is saying, no, no, there's a different process between Pas and Bishul. Good. Now, Hashlochas Kissim. So how on earth does throwing a toothpick into the fire help?
The Eretz Yisrael don't think it does.
Huh?
The Eretz Yisrael
felt the same. Right, so this is a machlokes between the minhag of Bnei Eretz Yisrael and the minhag of Bnei Bavel. That's actually a work of the Gaonim that the Balei HaTosfos are referring to obliquely. There is a edition that Mosad Rav Kook put out around 50 years ago by, I think, Rabbi Ruvein Margolyos, of Chiluf HaMinhagin Bein Eretz Yisrael LeBavel. So one of the things is that Bnei Bavel are Mashlecha Kisim, and Bnei Eretz Yisrael say, Kisim Zeh Ma Ma'ala Uma Morid, V'anu Nimshachin Achar Bnei Bavel V'Talmudam. Now that word V'Talmudam is very difficult, no?
What was their logic?
So that's one problem. The other problem is it's against the Gemara. Right? Because the Gemara l'cha'ora is saying that the Jew has to speed up the cooking. And just throwing a twig in does not speed up the cooking, ki huze. So there are... So in the Rush, when he presents it, the Rush basically says, mutav shu shogigin. No? Now, this is absolutely ludicrous. I mean, pardon me, but what is going on here, right? The Rush is saying, Hanach li Yisrael, sheyiyu shogigin, right? The Rush is saying, you know what? Really, it's wrong, but they do it anyway, let them be. No? It's almost like the Rush has the same idea at the beginning of Parakira in Shabbos. There's a machlokas between Hananiah and the Chachamim, whether we paskin that there's going to be... that once it's Macho Ben Drusoy, so their Neshihiyah is Mutter, right? That's a Machlokes Chananya L'Chachamim. And the Rush basically says, Hanach Shiyu Shogigin, Mekevan Shekla Yisra Adukin B'mitzas Oneg Shabbos, don't start up with them. Right? That we like having hot food on Shabbos, and you can't start up. This does not sound like anything that should be endorsed by a normative halachist, if that's the word. You should not include that in your Shulchan Aruch. Hello, Michal.
Just in terms of Shogigin from earlier about Tosfos versus
we spoke about some of the Furash Bikra in the first semester.
Right, but Tosfos says if you know they're going to listen or not. Do you think the Rush is implying that nobody, no one will listen?
So, If the Rush means Hanach li Yisrael Shiyuhu Shog again, so then he'd have to be saying that no one would listen. Again, the Chazon Ish tries to reinterpret some of these comments of the Rush, both in Shabbos and here. But the Pashta says, yeah, people won't listen. Hashlochas Kisim has taken over the world, and that's what we do. And they're not going to listen, so just let them stay with it. Azay Shtein Rush, no?
Everything in the Sesefta is like super harsh in the Pshat of Gemara, and then it's just like, no.
Well, we don't do that anyway. That's right. Hey, isn't this amazing? Like, this is like totally the basis of Reform Judaism. It's like, okay. Huh? I think I've used that line before. Okay, but according to the Rush, effectively, Hashlochas Kisim has no halachic rationale. Now, according to other Rishonim, Hashlochas Kisim has a halachic rationale. And the halachic rationale is something to the effect of that the fire gets a shame of Jewish fire. And once the fire has a shame of Jewish fire, so then it's all going to be mutter. Meaning, what?
Who says this?
So this other approach seems to be the Rashb in the Teres Habayis. And we'll talk about this in a second. This other approach only makes sense if I am in Ramban world. In Ramban world, that there's a heter of a Jewish fire. I have no idea what a fire has to do to become Jewish. I have no idea how you immerse a fire in a mikvah to be megayer it. I don't know. It like doesn't seem to work. But if it's a Jewish fire, says the Ramban, it's mutter. Nachon? Says the Rashba, based on this Svara, I can make a fire, a Jewish fire, by being Mashlich Kisim. And therefore, maybe I have Talmudic basis on some level for the Heter of Hashlachas Kisim, because we could say that maybe all these Gemaras are only discussing Goyish fires. But once it's a Jewish fire, it's Heter Gomor, like the Ramban said, no? I make it a Jewish fire, it's Mutter. Ashkenazim, by the way, are super duper makel. Because Ashkenazim hold that if I take Eish me Eish, it becomes a Jewish fire, no? This is the kula of, in the Heights, we have these things called landlord specials as your ovens. The landlord special is an oven that has been around for like 65, 70 years, and there's a pilot light, no? Huh?
We have one of those in my grandfather's room.
There's something, you know, about the generations, right? Everything in the Heights. So there's a pilot light. Now, when there's a pilot light, the way you turn on one of the burners is you're basically turning it on and you're drawing gas from the pilot light. That would mean Eish Mei Eish. Eish Mei Eish is going to be a big kula. Whenever I get a Bishul Akum Shaila in the Heights, the first question I ask is, oh, is there a pilot light on your stove?
Can
no?
you explain that a little bit? Like,
a pilot light is that there's a fire that's always on.
In restaurants,
will
they use this?
So in restaurants, they will use this as a cooler for Bishul Akum, providing you know that the pilot light is staying on.
Well, then they like lock it.
So if they lock it, that is an awesome cooler, providing
that only Jews only
Jews know how to unlock it, and the Isser V'Heter Ha'aruch, right, the Isser V'Heter Ha'aruch, some attribute to Rabbeinu Yonah, it's a major sefer in Kashrus, so I'm not exactly sure who wrote it. The Isser V'Heter Ha'aruch says that Eish Mei Eish only helps B'Beis Yisrael, meaning he's only using a B'Tzira for the Ravid that we had in Taisus on the top of Lamed Zayin Amad Aleph. Lamed Ches Amad Aleph. What? So if it's a Jewish-owned restaurant, so then we will be Mekel. So that is the That is what the OU uses halacha lemaisa for Bishul Yisrael in many places. If they have a pilot light, right, that works very well. No?
Right.
It's a pretty good kula. But what about our star K light bulb? What about our power strip that we spoke about as a way of getting you interested in being a last year, Rachel?
So I was going to say two comments. One is we when learning in Seder, thought that this would, this HMH would be just like the power strip situation where you're like getting the electricity from the electricity that the Jew
so
gave.
Are you?
I mean, it's also right.
So Eish may Eish, I would say, means that there's already a fire, and in Halacha I have a principle of Ner La'echad, Ner La'meya. Once there's a fire, you can take from a fire to a fire, it's still the same fire. So there's a fire at least. Over here, I don't know. Do we assume that electricity in the walls is that there's a fire in the wall? If you start smelling fire in your walls, run. Get out of there very quickly. That means your house is burning down. Nachon? Right? The Aruch HaShulchan assumed that electricity operated, there's actual fire in the wires.
No.
No! Correct! If there would be fire in the... That's what Aruch HaShulchan's makel on electricity on Yontif. They turn it on because it says it's Eish Mei Eish. Rabbi Yosef Weiss, who was just Nifter in Yeshiva like 2 years ago, he's like 99 when he was Nifter, he was like the oldest Rosh Yeshiva at that time. So Rabbi Weiss was a physics major in Yeshiva College in the late 30s, early 40s. So the first shiur that he gave, apparently the shiur, Rabbi Karlov told me, this is why they hired him as a Rosh Yeshiva, he gave a shiur in Yeshiva when he was still an undergrad, showing that the Aruch HaShulchan was wrong about electricity, both mitzad halacha and mitzad physics. So Dr. Revel hired him to be a Rosh Yeshiva because he represented Torah Umada.
Well,
this is like, whatever. But the Rosh is saying that there is zero halachic basis for Hashlachas Kisim. The Rashba is saying that Hashlachas Kisim makes it a Jewish fire, and once it's a Jewish fire, I have a Ramban that I can rely on. Right? But the chiddush of the Rashba within Hashlachas Kisim is it becomes a Jewish fire just because I add to the fire. That's enough to make it a Jewish fire, and that's going to be okay. Yes, Adina.
Okay, according to the Ramban, he's essentially saying that everything in the Gemara
is goyish a fire.
Once it's a Jewish fire.
Nachon.
And therefore you can have, as soon as the fire is on, it doesn't matter who puts it on, who takes it off, who started
it. If it's a Jewish fire for the Ramban, it's all mutter.
It just makes no sense. Why would you come to that conclusion? I mean, it allows us to be meekle, but I'm just saying, like,
it turns Bishop off into like a very good
thing. Now, I should point out that the Ramban is saying that Efshar Shehu Mutter, right? That since it's Iker Ha'esh, the Ramban might not make this extension to Hashlachas Kisim. All the Ramban is saying is if the Jew brings the fire, it's Mutter because the Jew did a really important thing in the cooking, because you can't cook without fire.
Where does the type of food come into?
The type of food
being cooked come into this?
Well, that's what we spoke about in the previous figure, Ola Shulchan Malachim, etc. That's all.
So this is all. Like,
assuming
all
it's food that would be subject to Bishul Akum, can I be makel on the Bishul Akum because the Jew had some involvement in the fire?
Okay.
Right? So, Lecha Ora, if you want to be Mako like this Ramah, the Ramah who says
like,
if we want to be Mako, the Ramah, I'm not talking about the Ramah yet in Se'if Vav, we'll get back to Se'if Vav in a minute, but the Ramah says in Se'if Zayin that Hadlokas Ha'esh helps with Inyan Bishol Kamola Inyan Pass, that is a very difficult Kula. Because that kula lecha'ora, right? The Rambam writes, "Afilu, right? Afilu lo chita Yisrael, v'lo hishla sham kisim. Rach over kuchem hidlo ke'esh me'esha Yisrael is also mutter. To rely on that, you are relying on super duper kulas." Okay, now. By the way, in the Chokas Binyamin, in Sifkotin Pei Dalet, he points out that pilot lights would help, based on this Ramah, but Halach Lamais, again, the OU only uses that for Beis Hoshal Yisrael. Let's go weiter. Oh, Rachel, yeah.
Yeah, sorry. We gave the Rashba and the Rush, but was possible that, I don't remember where it came up, but is it the third possible analysis of where this would come from when, like, we distinguish between, like, I forgot who it was. You said, like, oh, Rishonim. He himself is Rishonim, something he's talking about. Say that Hashlachas Kisim is only when you're starting the fire, like, you're, like, doing the whole kindling part, versus, like, other people say, it's, like, even after, once this, like, cooking has started, just the throw in, like, to the big fire, and then
again,
someone
it could be, but I think the lumdus of all of that would be, at what point is it considered a Jewish fire?
But if it's once the food is already on it,
if the okay, so if the food is already on it, and then you throw the kissing in, so that might be like stoking the coals, so that's ki'ilu I'm involved in the actual cooking of the pot,
right.
Assuming that my little toothpick is adding something to the cooking process.
But someone said that. He said, like, even if it's like something that's like low neck, low nika,
if it's low,
still,
right,
like,
so that, the Ran actually alludes to that. Alludes to that as well. L'cha'ora, the Rosh also alludes to that. L'cha'ora, it should only help if what I'm doing is nikar, and halacha l'maisa, at least the Rama is much more mekel than that. Ugh. Comes along the Taz, and the Taz adds another nekuda. The Taz says, once we are mekel, that hashlochas kisim is going to help. And the Taz argues that the kula for hashlochas kisim comes up when the Gemara says that gamro biyad Yisrael is going to be mutter. Once that line is true, that Gomra B'yag Yisrael is mutter, that teaches me that Hashlochas Kisim is okay. And once Hashlochas Kisim is okay, therefore, even if the guy is doing all of the cooking, and it would cook without the Jews' involvement, it still is okay, according to the Rama. What the Taz is basically saying is that the Yishuv for the Rama in Se'if Vav is that, you know what, the Rama says that if a guy would do all the cooking, and the Jew's cooking is not really contributing anything, because it's going to cook without the Jew, it still is kosher, says the Taz, oh, that's because Hashlochas Kisim ultimately helps. Meaning, what the Taz is basically saying is that he dug up a Gemara for Hashlochas Kisim, which is the last line of our Gemara. Let's read it again. The Gemara says, Gomro biyad akum is going to be kosher. Gomro biyad Yisrael certainly should be kosher, right? That's what the Gemara says. Now, we pointed out from the Ran that line makes no sense. Because there's no kal v'chomer. If anything, it goes the opposite way. Right? Gomro biyad Yisrael should be treif. The guy did most of the cooking. Teretzis, says the Taz. At this point in the Gemara, we are totally changing everything upside down. And what we are saying is, any involvement whatsoever of a Jew, kosher, kosher, kosher. No? Did you read the Taz in Sif Katan Vav? Do any of you have the text of the Taz? I can read it inside. I probably should have told you to bring it. But the Taz writes, V'nira, nira l'fiyan yistayti. The Gemara is changing from the Svar in Amud Aleph. The Svar in Amud Aleph is that if it would cook from the Goy without the Jew, it's going to be treif. Says the Taz, we reject that at this point of the Gemara. Now here's the paradox. The Taz has Talmudic basis for Hashlochas Kisim. His Talmudic basis is this one line of Gomro biyad Yisrael. But even though the Taz has Talmudic basis for it, halacha l'maaseh, the Taz does not want to rely on Hashlochas Kisim unless it's also Beiso Shel Yisrael, based on this tziruf of the Raiv or whoever that reputable Rishon was that Taisus called him Tapalam Chasam and Aleph. Right? So the Taz is saying Hashlochas Kisim won't help if it is not a Jew's home. The Shach, however, the Shach agrees that the Pshat in the Ramah in Se'if Vav is that once Hashlochas Kisim helps, so therefore, even if the guy does all the cooking, it still should be kosher if the Jew just does something. But the Shach writes at the end, he says, you know what? This is not something that we should really rely on, says the Shach, because this kissim is rejected by all the poskim, and therefore, right, the kissim is based on the chilufei minhagim between Eretz Yisrael and Babel, and therefore halacha lemaisa says the Shach don't rely on the kissim at all. So again, let's say it. The Taz is saying that kissim has Talmudic basis, but even so, the Taz does not want to rely on kissim halacha lemaisa unless you also are cooking in the Jew's home. The Shach says kissim has no halachic basis, but the Shach does not give any qualifications on the kula of kissim. The Shach says, you know what, you really just shouldn't rely on it at all, because kissim is based on the Rush, and the Rush is saying it's based on the chilufei minhagim between Bava and Eretz Yisrael, therefore we should not paskin like kissim at all. Comes along the Chokas Binyamin. This is why I gave you, did any of you read the piece on page Pei Dalet Pei Hei? Right? Chokas Binyamin, by the way, he's like the Rosh Kolon Chaim Berlin now. He's the son of Reb Fivel Cohen. This is like a very nice book on Hilchos Bishul Akam. His father-in-law is Ruby Shron, who owns my building, where I live now. Totally random. He bought the 11 buildings from YU. The Chokas Binyamin's father-in-law bought the 11 buildings from YU so that they were able to continue paying us, like, 3 years ago when we almost went bankrupt here. Right? Because no one ever thought of this idea of having Giving Day. That, like, somehow, like, we'd get, like, millions of dollars just, like, by picking up the phone. No one thought of that. Right? Only today. It's a great idea. Does it work?
They lost a lot more than $1 million.
Huh?
They lost a lot more than $1 million.
Good
idea, Joe.
Yeah, I got a few gifts today. The people who I know, when you call them up, they actually give some money. But one guy said to me today, you know, I never gave money before to YU, but gave me an education. Maybe I should. Sounds good. But the point is that the Shach basically is saying that this whole kula is based on the Rosh. Says the Chokas Binyamin, everyone is ignoring the other svara that Hashlachas Kisim makes it a Jewish fire. And once it makes it a Jewish fire, then it's going to be mutter by making it a Jewish fire. So now let's just chazer for a second and go back to our discussion. The Star K's light bulb. Is that sufficient as Hashlachas Kisim? So the Star Case says it is. Star Case light bulb. The OU feels that the Star Case light bulb doesn't help, because the OU's cheshbin is that that Hashlachas Kisim works because it becomes a Jewish fire if the light bulb is not really part of the fire that does the cooking, right? In the oven, you're doing the cooking in the main oven chamber, and you have a little light bulb in the corner. That's not really contributing to the main fire, so the OU says that Star K light bulb does not work.
So what does that mean?
That
Star K is not.
The OU would feel that no Star K. Again, this really doesn't come up in industry, it comes up in restaurants more. But if you'd ask the OU whether you could eat in a pizza place in Baltimore or something, they might tell you no.
So it's
pizza would be Pasaka, so it'd be okay. Huh?
What's the Star K's?
The Star K is saying, b'cha'ora, that Ashkenazi practices, that Hashlachas Kisim works, and what difference is it between having a light bulb and adding something to the fire? Rav Shachter has this svara, and Rabbi Belsky agreed, that the only din of Hashlachas Kisim is when you're adding to the original fire, and short of adding to the original fire, it won't help. Now, does a power strip help as Eish Mei Eish? I think that's a little bit harder to say, because if we're right, that you don't actually have fire in your walls, so it's harder to say that that's really H, no? It's harder to say, you have to find some way to make sure the power strip doesn't get turned off, etc. I think that is a little more difficult. Halacha l'maisa, we are makel on chitui ha'esh, right? Even by pas, although Hasvara no senes, a chitrei ha'esh should not help bypass. Like, if the Ran is really right, the way the Taz explained that Ran, that the malacha of pas is lighting a fire and then getting rid of the fire, so stoking the coals should not help anything by pas, no? It should only help by cooking. Yet, we're megal, and that also, there are some giant mysteries in Judaism. This is one of them. There's a couple of others, but...
You just, like, alright, let's follow all these rules.
So again, so this maybe what we'll have to do next time is try to learn these dinim a little bit more. This is difficult. I mean, objectively speaking, we have certain kulas that we are relying on all the time that are not so pashat.
At the same time, that don't work together.
Right!
If you want to take them to the logical conclusion, there would be a chumra on the other side, but we stop it in the middle.
I'm not sure what you're saying.
So every side, every kula, there's a chumra on the other side, right?
Mm-hmm.
We only apply the kula.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right. That's what we spoke about last time. Right, that we are Mako and Bishol Akhil, super duper Mako, that we're going to say Kirif Bishol, when it helps us, it is Bishol. Kirif Bishol, when it doesn't help us, it's not Bishol. Yeah, that's kind of awesome.
Well, respectively, it's just
right, so this, again, this might have something to do with just like Arego Achas. The way halacha works in Ashkenaz tends to be much more focused on what people did. Right? Minhag, again, and that might be the real pshat in the rush also, but it doesn't fully answer anything. Okay, I have to run to make the van back. Have a good Shabbos. And next week, I think, is our last week of real Shiurim, so we're going to try to end it on a bang and really get into these dinim. They are complicated, but we're doing the best we can.